We've had seven previous sermons on profiting from Proverbs, and this is number eight, and it's the last in the series. I've entitled it The Good Woman. Some Bibles title the section The Wife of Noble Character. Others say The Virtuous Wife. But it's definitely a good woman. Proverbs 18:22 tells us, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favour from the Lord." And that's definitely my testimony, and I'm sure the testimony of many men here tonight. Now, Proverbs here in chapter 31, it ends on a high note. They say, don't they, that 100 men may make an encampment, but it takes one woman to make a home. And this passage in Proverbs speaks about a great woman, a marvellous wife. And these last few verses of Proverbs, verses 10 to 31 of chapter 31, they are still have a regular place of study for the Jews today. In some, every Friday night before the Sabbath dinner. Some sing it even before the meal. And the verses in Hebrew, of these 21 verses, they each start with one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet in order, so it's an acrostic poem. Now, prepare to be shocked. Tammy Wynette was right when she sang "Stand by Your Man," but she didn't go far enough, as this passage so clearly teaches us. And so this sermon comes with a warning tonight. This teaching is radical. It goes to the very foundation of our thinking, and it may cause extreme change in your point of view. But such as ever is the Word of God. Now, the outline tonight is we're going to go through the verses one by one, and then we'll have a look at application for women and men, but then an application for the world and the church. Proverbs 31, you know, it talks primarily about the woman's role in marriage as the wife, but it also teaches us much also about the role of the husband. It instructs us about marriage, about women's rights and their God-given potential. This is extremely important since the marriage state is the predominant adult position in the world today, even in these God-denying times in which we live. In the United States, for instance, over 56% of all adults are married and living together as, you know, as a married couple. Now, we're going to look at this passage verse by verse, and we're going to see what the woman's role is as given by this detailed example, and then we'll draw out the lessons. And the first point is this, Proverbs 18:22, which I've already spoken. It says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favour from the Lord. Marriage is from God." Let's remember that the author of marriage is God. He defines what it is, what is good and right about it, what its benefits are and how it should be. And don't just look at me and say, well, what does he know about marriage? Let's look at God's word and see what he, its author, its inventor, says about how he intended it to be. Marriage is for our good. We find favour from the Lord when we find ourselves a marriage partner. Our life is blessed and we're done good by God in heaven. Catholics believe marriage is a sacrament. Well, it certainly is a source of blessing from God on our lives, as Proverbs 18:22 tells us. Now let's have a look at Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous wife? for her worth is far above rubies. So we're talking about a rare breed here. I nearly mistyped it and put a rare bird, but it's a rare breed, isn't it? Who can find such a wife? For her worth is far above rubies. We have to recognise that such a woman, not only is she hard to find, but she's good when you find her. That's why she's worth more than rubies, just as rubies are worth far more than the pebbles we find strewn across the beach. Some scholars, you know, they argue that the word translated here, virtuous, is not the right translation of the Hebrew word, and they give clever arguments about the word. It's usually got a masculine, warlike meaning. But we'll learn the right meaning of this word, virtuous, by studying these examples, verse by verse. Verse 11. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. The wife's focus is her husband. She would not be a wife without him. Ladies, if your focus is not going to be your husband, this is to single ladies, don't get married. Today, far too often, a woman's focus, a married woman's focus, is her children. And unfortunately, the man, the married man's focus, is his career. This is wrong. The focus for both partners in marriage is each other and doing each other good, primarily. The wife's focus is her husband. Verse 13 and 14, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. I don't know if you know, but being able to source what you need is a core business skill. And this woman knows what she wants and the best places to get it, even if they're not at hand. Now, has Tesco's taken away this ability from us today? Because everything from the four corners of the world are just there on the aisles. But this woman is industrious. Merchant ships, it was a risky venture in those days, sending out a merchant ship to get spices or silks or whatever from different parts of the world. It was risky, it required great planning, intelligence, finance. Verse 15 says, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. There she is, she's organised and she's treating each individual in the house according to their needs. This woman is industrious, intelligent and diligent. What a woman. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it, and from her profits she plants a vineyard. The principle here is she's setting a goal for herself, she saves up money for it, and she gets something useful in return. Something, yes, that takes work and investment, but is a long-term. Notice this takes her well out of the house for a considerable time. Whether she planted the vineyard with her own hands or merely oversaw the planting of it, it all takes time. The Bible does not teach that a woman's place is just in the home. I repeat that. The Bible does not teach that the woman's place is just in the home. She sets, this woman here, she sets goals and she achieves goals. And all her eggs are not in one basket. She's got multiple deals on the table here. If you look at glance at verse 24, you'll see another deal that she's doing. But verse 16 holds at least two. It says, from her profit. And this is implying previous business success. Now, and she uses the profits from her previous business success to buy a field and to plant it out as a vineyard. Now, I have to accept, and I think we all do, that all men and all women don't have business acumen. But nevertheless, all women need to be working on their husband's behalf. Just as Jesus Christ said, I must be about my father's business. And just as Eve was the helper made to help Adam in his work, so a wife must actively devote her diligence and talents to her husband's benefit. This woman here, she's setting goals and she's achieving them. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arm. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. Do you see the picture? Late night working overtime to get an order out. That's what she's doing. The woman, that's what it is in verse 17. She sees before her she's got a long night to get this business done. And she gets herself ready at night for the working. And she's prepared herself to be strong. She's prepared herself for this opportunity. Are you prepared to grasp the opportunities coming your way? Verse 18. She sees that what she is doing is going to be a good business deal. She perceives that her merchandise is good. So she keeps going through the late hours making that cloth. She's making the most of every opportunity. Do you? Verse 22. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gate when he sits amongst the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. She's businesslike, isn't she? Her labour clothes her family directly, and there's even plenty to sell in trade. Could you supply M&S or Next or perhaps Ethel Austin with the output of your labour? Her labour does not merely stop at supplying home needs. And don't forget, she's also running a vineyard. Verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. So out of her excess, she has enough to help the needy. And she also has the heartfelt compassion to do it. Verse 21, she's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. In her charitable giving, she's not robbing her family to feed strangers. No, indeed, she's prepared for adverse conditions, adverse circumstances. She, unlike Gordon Brown, has put something by, ready for the bad times. So she's businesslike, yet compassionate. Verse 25. Strength and honour are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. That sounds wonderful, doesn't it? On her tongue is the law of kindness. Later on, it talks about how charm is deceitful. But here we have a woman whose tongue is the law of kindness. There's more to this girl than mere ability for hard work. She has strength, yes. But she's also got honour. She's got wise words with great kindness. It's easy, isn't it, to put somebody right with a harsh word. But she's got wise words with great kindness. She's ruled by kindness. Kindness is the rule rather than the exception with her. Can you see that love is the guiding principle behind all she does? Can you see that? The word love doesn't appear in this passage, but it's there behind. It's there, the guiding principle behind all she does. She's a woman of kindness, wisdom, and strength. Verse 23. Her husband's career flourishes with hers. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits amongst the elders of the land. We can see that because of her support, her husband's career flourishes. Ladies, here's a question. Are you holding your man back? Are you holding him back, or are you helping him achieve his God-given potential? And you can clearly see that her own career flourishes too. She's got the vineyard on the go. She's got the clothes on the go. She's running everything. This is not an either-or situation where it's her career or his, but this is a win-win situation as she uses her skills so well. Her husband's career prospers as hers does too. Verse 27. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She doesn't think she's arrived. She doesn't say, "Oh, my soul, take your ease, eat and drink." She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She keeps an eye on her household, the children, the budget, the bills, the food in the fridge. She's on top of everything. Verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. "Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Everything is under control and running smoothly. As they reap the benefits of this, her husband and children know it's all down to her loving diligence." Is this what happens on Monday morning in your house? Or is it all chaos and accusations as no one can find the clean clothes or a packed lunch? Now, most women do some of all this stuff well, but this woman, she's mastered it all. Verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Beauty, we say, is only skin deep, but this woman has got a deeper beauty than merely on the surface. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Her own achievements will praise her, but it's her underlying living faith and trust in God that actually makes her praiseworthy. Men, do you go out looking for the trophy wife? Or do you go out looking for the woman who is fundamentally good because she is at peace with God? Beauty is skin deep and will soon fade. But good character is not only exhibited in all that a person does, but matures and blossoms over the years. Men, if you're not married, don't get bogged down with superficial appearances when you go looking for a wife. And men who are married, don't get bogged down with superficial appearances. This woman has got her priorities right. God, husband, family, others. Lovingly and diligently, she is seeking the good of all these in this order. So we've had a look at this. Fantastic woman. Fantastic praise to this noble woman. But let's have a look at some application towards ourselves. First of all, wives and husbands. Yeah? Well, perhaps, ladies, you're reeling with application after these verses. Perhaps I don't need to say any more, because it's all been there, clearly on the page of Scripture. Perhaps you're afraid to wonder how you measure up to this woman, this superwoman. Well, first of all, don't give up in despair. It says in Proverbs 31:17, "She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms." Or as the NIV puts it, "She sets about her work vigorously." Lady, the power is in your hands. Don't give up. But you might ask me, where do I make a start? Well, the first thing, be a home builder, not a home wrecker. I hope most of you have taken the opportunity over these last couple of months as we've gone through Proverbs to read the whole of the book. And if you do, you read a lot about the adulteress. Proverbs 7:19, "For my husband," says the adulteress, "is not at home, he has gone on a long journey." And she pulls the wayward man in. Proverbs clearly tells us that this woman and all who sleep with her are destroying their own souls and will end up in the depths of hell. Don't be a homewrecker. Don't be an adulteress. Well, actually, you can destroy your home slowly, day by day, a different way, can't you, than merely being unfaithful to your husband. Proverbs 14:1 says, "The wise woman builds her home, but the foolish pulls it down with her own hands." Well, how does she do that? Well, one brick at a time. One brick at a time. One brick at a time. Proverbs 19 tells us the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. A contentious or a quarrelsome wife. Is that you, ladies? It shouldn't be. A continuous dripping on a very rainy day, Proverbs 27:15 says, and a contentious woman are alike. Don't be like the monsoon nagging your husband. It will destroy your home. Be a home builder, and be a home builder in every possible way. Ladies, is that your goal? Be a teacher. If we turn back to Proverbs 1:8, we will hear Solomon say, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." It's repeated in Proverbs chapter 6:20. And right here, just 9 verses before what we read, in Proverbs 31:1, it says, "The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him." Be a teacher. A good mother is a teacher by example and also by doctrine. Of course, you must first learn what you must teach. So your aim should be to prepare yourself in this role. Proverbs 31:17, "Ladies, the power is in your hands." But so much for the ladies. What about the men? Well, men, this woman that we've just read about, is this your ideal wife? Is this the description of your dream date? Is this the description of who you would call your soulmate? Is this the woman you wake up to next to each morning? Did you use this description when you were single to pick out the kind of girl that you would date? And single men, are you trying harder to find such a woman than you are trying hard to make yourself a financial success? For this woman, is a woman of this kind, is worth more than rubies. Husbands, is your desire that your wife should be like this woman? This is worth working for, you know. It's worth striving for, having such a wife. And husbands, what sort of husband does such a wife deserve? At the very least, she deserves one who is also virtuous and diligent, one who supports her in all her enterprise. Husbands, are you such a husband that you deserved a wife like this? But you might say, "But my wife is not like this." Some men may say that. I wouldn't. First of all, learn this. Be satisfied with your wife. Proverbs 5:15. "Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of your youth, and always be enraptured with her love." So men, don't say, "But my wife's not like this," and use it as an excuse for you to go wandering. Leave other women alone and help your wife become this godly woman. Husbands, Are you helping her make herself like this? Or are you hindering her? Are you enabling, actively enabling her to become like this? Are you nurturing her? Perhaps you have to take some of the menial daily tasks off her, that so that she may reach her potential. Is she like the giant Gulliver, held down by a myriad of individually easily breakable threads? But it's that you are not giving her any of the help she needs. In what ways, husbands, ask yourself this, in what ways must your attitude and behaviour change to help your wife become more like this wife spoken about in God's word? Remember that husband, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for his bride when she was still unlovely, so that she might become lovely without spot or stain. Are you telling me that your wife is worse than the one he died for? What are you doing to put yourself out to benefit the development of your wife so that she has these skills and virtues? Be a good husband, men. Read Ephesians 5 and remember this: husbands, you will be held accountable on that day for how you run your household. Let's look at some other applications. The world. Wow. Now, the world thinks that Christians and Christ have a low view of women and womanhood. Don't they? The world thinks that. The world thinks that St. Paul was a misogynist. They think that these old fuddy-duddies 2,000 years ago virtually enslaved women. Don't let the world believe such a lie. The Bible is the most liberating book in the world. John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. That's liberation for men and women. And the Apostle Paul rammed it home in Galatians 3:28 when he said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. How about that for equal rights and opportunities 2,000 years ago? Don't let the world believe an unbiblical lie about the role of women in the church and in Christian homes. Wives are not to be chained to the kitchen sink, nor to be slaves to their husbands. Don't let the world believe that about us Christians. Rather, teach them the truth by a living example. This godly woman is praised in the Bible. She is proactive. She is empowered. She is successful. She is fulfilled. And living life in partnership with her husband to her full potential. Her family praise all that she does as they benefit from her labours. Let your wife, men, be a living example to the world of what God's word teaches. How about a further application? The church. Well, the truth is, we are the bride. We're the wife of Christ. How do we measure up? Men and women, young and old, who are professing believers, how do we measure up to this woman in the book of Proverbs? Is our focus our husband? Is our focus Christ? Or is it ourselves? Our careers, our pleasures? Do we do Christ good every day of our lives? Do we burn the midnight oil for his benefit? Are we faithful to him alone? Look at Proverbs 31:29 that we've read a couple of times tonight. It talks about her husband praises her, verse 28. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. That's what it says in the NIV. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring praise at the city gate. He's the husband, we are the wife. Would he reward us, looking at our diligence in this life, this week, today? Would he praise us? What a standard it sets for Christian behaviour. Ask yourself this question. How are we going to put these things right? So in summary, what a thing a godly woman is. She's trustworthy, efficient, prepared, strong, generous, kind, disciplined, honourable, God-fearing. She's worthy of praise from children and husband alike. It says in Proverbs 12:4 that an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. You've got to be careful, lads, haven't you? Men, whether you're married or not, get this big issue wrong, and Proverbs 12:4 says it's like bone cancer eating away at you, killing you from the inside out. Is that enough to spur us to change our ways? Get it right, it says, and you'll wear a crown. Now, a crown is what marks you out as a king amongst ordinary men. And that's what a good wife does for you. And you and your wife will have a fulfilling and flourishing married life together. Both being strong in body, mind and spirit will allow you not only to cope with whatever the world throws at you, but it will allow you to transform society by your doctrine and your example. A couple of questions. Are we doing everything in our power to make this biblical picture possible in our marriages? Well, men, we can start by going home tonight and saying to our wife, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Christians, are we as diligent in the service of our husband Christ as this woman was to her husband, a mere mortal man? With God's grace, we should put all these things right. Our last hymn is one of the ones we sang last night, number 700.